Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today? I certainly feel the presence of God in this house. And as this service began, the music began to play and the songs began to be sung, I could just sense God's touch. And that's what I come to church for, to experience the Lord. And to meet with Him and He with me. And the Lord is doing that in this camp, isn't He? I certainly appreciate the preaching of the Word of the Lord last night. Brother Calhoun, that is a word that I will, in the next few weeks and months, I will contemplate, consider, and receive strength from, and inspiration from. Amen. I appreciate that word of the Lord last night that you delivered. What a blessing Brother Jason Calhoun is to the work of God in this hour and in this generation. I know he travels a lot. He feels stretched and torn. And he hadn't confessed all this to me, but I know. To have a busy schedule like he has, it takes a lot of grace from God. And he is such a tremendous blessing to the movement. And I want you to know that I appreciate the strength that comes from your ministry. And I love Brother Calvin very, very, very much. I have a lot of respect for Brother Calvin. I really appreciate our friendship. I appreciate what the Lord is doing through you to help us make it to heaven in this generation. If you'd open your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Genesis. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 4, two verses of Scripture, verses 25 and 26. And we're also going to read from the book of Psalms again today. We're going to read from Psalm 65 and verse 4. I want to say it's good to see Brother Fox come in. Wonderful friend and great preacher. And I'm glad to be able to spend some time with him again this week. I appreciate the overall spirit and attitude of this camp. I'm just blessed to be here. And I want to tell you, I'm going to have to be comfortable to do what I'm doing this week. Because I'm just diving into these messages. And I really sometimes like to be able to have a good foundation and have it all laid out and prepared. But yesterday I came and I preached the message I didn't expect to preach at camp. And here I am again today, preaching another message I didn't expect to preach. But I really feel this in my heart, in my spirit. And I hope before it's over today, you will receive it into your heart, into your spirit. Brother Haddon, thank you for those words. Thank you. When it comes the time to make a decision, young people, I pray you'll always make the decision to stand and fight. Be a soldier for the cross, the work of God. Be a contender for the faith. I was thinking just a moment ago, sometimes you don't know exactly what to do, but I'm going to tell you, just do something. You don't know all the time what it's going to take to bring the giant down, but we know through prayer and praise and fasting and obedience, through all of that, some way the giants are going to fall. Amen. So just put those hands together. Lift that voice. Sing a song. Do something. I got a thought a while back. I haven't preached it yet. It's called Doing Something on a Maybe. I kind of like knowing that it's right and it'll work before I do something. But sometimes we just have to do something. And Jonathan and it said, "Hey, let's go up. Let's show ourselves. Just maybe. Maybe the Lord will help us. Maybe God's ready to use us. Maybe the Lord's ready to work through us." Amen. Young people, today you may not be sure of what the will of God is in your life, but if you'll just get involved, Just say, maybe God can do something with me. And I'm telling you, you'll find it's more than a maybe, but God's got a plan, and God's got a purpose, and God's got a work. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name what? For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, his name, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. A son was born, but there was also something else significant about that time, and that was men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm chapter 65 and verse 4. The Bible said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. Why don't you read that last portion with me again, starting with we, young people, and let it be our voice today. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. I want to be satisfied with the goodness of the Lord. How about you? Amen. Would you pray with me? The Lord's blessings upon the preaching of the word. God, we magnify you. We bless you. We adore you. We exalt you. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for this word that you've put in our heart. I thank you for what you're going to do this morning, God. And I thank you for the blanket of glory that you're going to cover this sanctuary with. And I thank you for the prayers that are going to be made in this place today. I thank you for the revelation and the understanding and the vision that you're going to give, God, to this congregation. We're grateful for your work. We're grateful, Lord. We're thankful and we're appreciative of it. We love you. We thank you, God. Amen. Everyone said amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. I need 10 young men. Landon, there we go. I know I can count on you. 10 young men. Come on, I just need 10. 10. I need 3 young ladies. That's it. Come on. No, that's it. Good. Just come on up here on the platform. I need 3. There we go. On the platform. On the platform. Y'all going to help me out today. The Lord's going to use you. Brother Marler, it's good to see you. God bless you. Appreciate you very, very much. All right, how many do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. One more. Did I count right? All right, good. All right, so we're going to kind of set some scenes up here. All right, I need you ladies to come help me. Let's see. All right, I need 3 guys to start right here. All right, so the rest of you just move on over. I need a young lady. Come here. 1, 1, 1. One young lady. All right. You're going to be Adam. All right? And you are going to be Eve. No. You're going to be Eve. Okay? All right. So, I'm going to tell you something. Right over here? All right. So, this is the first scene. Basically. All right. Adam and Eve. We have Adam and Eve. And we have an angel. All right? You didn't know you was that good, did you? Yeah, you're not even comfortable being an angel, are you? You're better than you think. We're not going to talk to your mom and dad, right? We're going to go. Right? So, right, you stand right there. You have a sword in your hand. Yeah, there you go. All right? And you're going to be the Lord. Well, that's really nice. Huh? You feel like Jesus? No. All right. So, we're going to have to set another one. All right. Here we go. We need 2 boys right here.
As the rest of you just scoot on down here. Y'all need to tighten up over there so we can separate these sins. All right, here we go. All right, so now, Sister Eve.
Hello, Brother Adam.
All right. You be Brother Adam. She's going to be Sister Eve. We got a bunch of Adam leaves today, right? All right.
Come here, brother, you don't mind.
Well, I'm going to have to make you the son. It just ain't.
Stand right here. You can be Adam. All right?
Y'all three stand together. We'll get this started out here. So come on over here, sister. Ever felt like you was in Sunday school? This is not junior portion, is it? Oh, all right. So we've got three more left. So I need another Adam and Eve. Yeah, there we go. That's why you're here, aren't you? Nice meeting you, Sister Eve. God bless you. I need to remind you today the Lord made Adam and Eve and not. All right, so here we go. You're going to be a son. Surprise, surprise. And you're going to be a son. But I need you over here. And I need you over here. You're going to be right. Yeah. Do I have that right? No, I need y'all. Yeah, I got it wrong. There we go. Scoot on over there. You're going to be by yourself. You're alone. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. All right. Ready to go. Adam and Eve's in the garden. They have a relationship with God. The Bible said that the Lord told them there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Stay away from it. Don't partake of the fruit. You know the story so well. And we have where Eve made the decision. Take the fruit and her husband, who's your husband? Right here. Yeah. Partook of the fruit. And the Lord did what? The Lord drove them out of the garden. We don't know the full details of their relationship with God. We do know that after they had sinned, the Lord came in the cool of the day. We don't know how much they talked to God. We don't know how much God talked to them. But we do know that the Lord did come down to meet with them in the cool of the day. And He said, Adam, where art thou? And you know the story. After they sin, the Lord what? Drove them out. So, you may be dismissed. The Lord's letting them be dismissed. All right. And then He guards the way. They're not getting back in. He guards the way to the tree of life. Sin separated man from God. The relationship was broken. Now, we do know that Adam and Eve had covered themselves with fig leaves and that the Lord then took the skins of an animal and covered them. So we don't know if the Lord communicated to them any thought or the idea of sacrifice. It would seem that there's a possibility that the Lord began to institute sacrifice and someone, an animal dying in the place. But we don't have the details of that in scriptures, but we do know that sin separated and we don't know what kind of relationship Adam and Eve had with God. We never find that they outside of the garden that they begin to build altars. We don't know that. But we do know, thank you, I'm through with y'all, that after they were out of the garden, they had Adam and Eve, right? I'm sorry, they had Cain and Abel. Woo! Alright. So they had Cain and Abel outside the garden. And you know the story. Didn't want to be Abel. That's kind of that's the thought. You either die or you're the murderer. So I mean we have Cain and Abel, and so you're Abel, right? So you're Cain.
What happened?
He's gone. He's gone. Down.
It started with a sacrifice. One offered the blood sacrifice. One offered the fruit of his hands and his labor. The Lord was pleased with Abel's sacrifice, but displeased with Cain's. Jealousy, stubbornness, rebellion, self-willed way resulted in the death. But it started with sacrifice. It started at the altar. And so, we're going to raise you up in Jesus' name. Thank you, brother. So, later, we have, stand right here, please. We have Adam and Eve. Now, this is all their experience. You can go, thank you. This is all their, all in their mind. I'm trying to show you how it happened. In that, we don't know what their thoughts were. All they know is they used to meet with God. And all they know is that when God says don't touch something, don't touch it. When God says don't taste it, don't taste it. They know Him as a God of judgment. And now they're separated from God. Now, because sin entered the world, they've lost the Son. They grieved. I don't know if they were confused. I don't know. We just don't know of what kind of relationship they had with God. To what extent. If they even prayed. If they even wanted to pray. We don't know. But then later, God blessed. And they had another son. And they called his name what? Seth. And so, Seth was born. When Seth was born, they were thrilled. Because they said, the Lord has shown us mercy. Hallelujah. The Lord hath given me a man. Hallelujah. We didn't know what all God was going to do with us as a result of our sin. We've lost a lot. We lost our communion. We lost our son. But now God's given back to us. And we're grateful. I lost righteous Abel and God's given me another man child. And so, Seth was born. Thank you. This is where I kind of messed up. I don't know your name. Okay? What's your name? Savannah. So, you're going to be Sister Savannah. And you're going to be Brother Seth. All right? God blesses Savannah and did I say Seth?
I said Seth.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to make sure I said it right. I saw something didn't go right there. God blesses, and there is a child by the name of Enos that was born. What's your name? You'd probably rather Nicholas, son. And so that child grew up to be a man. Something happened. With humanity. Right here. When this child was born, history began to change in man's relationship with God. What I wanted to show you all of those tragic events to kind of give you an idea of the emotional turmoil that Adam and Eve and the children and everyone may have had, having experienced judgment, having limited understanding of God, But yet somehow by the time we get to this third generation, the world is in enough sin through Cain and his descendants that now we have an Enos. And the Bible said, then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Right here is where it turned. Right here is where it changed. Right there is where something happened in the history of man. It might have just been thoughts. It might have been just little personal meditation. But right here, thank y'all, but right here, in this era, man began to utter the cries of his heart. Right here in this generation is where men began to express themselves to God. And they begin to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to utter the worship and the praise that they had for Him. They begin to make their petitions made known unto the Lord. They begin to call upon the name of the Lord. You are Jehovah. We honor you, Jehovah. This is the place to where God didn't just talk to them anymore, or they didn't just have thoughts in their minds, but there was thoughts that began to be expressed out of their mouth, and desires that were in their soul, they begin to utter it unto the Lord. I've took a long time to say this morning. I believe God wants this to be a turning point in your lives, young people. That from this point on, amen, you begin to open your mouth and you begin to make prayers unto God. You begin to converse. You begin to communicate. You begin to talk to the Lord. One of these days, I want you to look back to this camp, Cornerstone 2013, and say, hey, that's where it turned. That's where it changed. God wasn't after me alone anymore, but I started reaching after Him. I started calling on His name. That's where I learned to get real with God. That's where I learned to become sincere with the Lord. That's the camp I learned to let it all out. That's the camp where I learned to express myself with God. I begin to tell Him, I really love you, God. I really want to walk with you. I really want to serve you. The world's not for me. I get tempted and I get tested. I get tried and I'm weak. But God, in my heart, I want you to hear my heart. I'm going to say what's in my heart. I want to love you. I want to serve you. I know you got a plan for my life. I know you got a purpose for me. I want you to use me. God wants you right now, today, and in this camp, to learn how to open up and start giving it. Do you have anything in your heart you'd like to tell the Lord? Right there in that generation, amen, is where they begin to let it go. You're the Creator. You're the King of Kings. Whatever they understood, you're the self-existent one. You're Jehovah. You're God alone. You're all by yourself. You're our Maker. I know, young people, that you pray, you worship and you sing, but I'm going to tell you, God wants more than corporate worship out of your life. Your parents have brought you to church and you learn to sing the songs and you learn how to jump and shout them. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, you need to learn how to pray. Amen. As much as it's important you come and have corporate prayer. Amen. You can't ever get to a place in your life to where all you feel the need of is corporate prayer in your life. I'm going to tell you, you need to get together and pray with your brothers and sisters. You need to lift your voice. Your voice needs to be heard in the sanctuary. But I'm going to tell you, you need a closet of prayer.
You need a personal prayer life. You need a place where you can get along with God. Hallelujah. And you build a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where you learn how to pray about everything. You pray in the morning. You pray in the noonday. You pray in the night. Amen. When you're feeling good and you don't feel good. When you're on the mountain or you're in the valley, you're talking to the Lord. You're praying unto your Maker and Savior. Thank you. We need a revival of prayer. We need a revival of prayer. Amen. And I'm telling you, I believe the Lord wants to visit this congregation with a spirit and a burden for prayer. He wants to generate a revival of prayer, of personal prayer, personal consecration, personal dedication, where you walk with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges that God has given to mankind. Prayer is one of the greatest honors that God has given to us. The privilege to come any moment, any time before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and fellowship and commune and talk with Him. I'm going to tell you, kings have had limited access. You couldn't just walk into the presence of a king and Bible times or old world history. You couldn't just walk in the presence of the king. They had tribes that were limited. There was limited access to the powerful, to the mighty. Even in our present era, public servants, there's limited access to these public figures, presidents, governors. You can't just go see them. You can't just walk in. There's limited access. I mean, sometimes it would be nice to know the governor. We got situations in our lives. It'd be nice to be able to just pick up the phone. Say, hey, Bobby Jindal, that's our governor. Hey, bud, I need some help today. I just got a ticket. No. It would be nice. But no, we can't just make the phone call. We don't have the relationship. And he's only a man. And he's only got so much time. And he can only give so much access and give attention to so many situations. Everybody can't have unlimited access to power. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to God, you got unlimited access to unlimited power. And it'd be nice to call Mr. So-and-so, Miss So-and-so, that had power in this world if you really needed them in the time of trouble. My boy's in trouble. My son's in trouble. My daughter's in trouble. Would you help me out? I'm going to tell you, even though they have power in this world, public figures only have limited power. I'm trying to encourage you to turn to God for everything. Realize that through prayer you have unlimited access to unlimited power. You serve a God that can move any mountain. You serve a God that can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. Doesn't matter how small it is, how big it is. You ever had a problem? He said, well, I don't want to call the pastor because I don't want to bother him. It may be too small, but I'm going to tell you, with God, nothing's too small, nothing's too large. He wants to hear from you. If it matters to you, it matters to Him, and He wants to hear your voice. I'm telling you, I believe it pleased deity. It pleased Jehovah when that third generation began to open their mouth and say, oh, Jehovah. Great Creator, God of heaven and earth, Maker of everything, I love you. And I don't know if you even want to walk with me. I don't even know what all your thoughts are. I know you live, and you're alive,
And I want to give you my heart's honor. I realize you gave me life, and I thank you for giving me life. I'm telling you, young people, it blesses the heart of God when you in your private moments will turn your heart toward Him and begin to call on His name. We got to have a revival of prayer in this generation. We got to have a revival of prayer.
Let me just say this. Again, let me just go back to corporate worship and prayer. We got to keep it. But don't ever feel like that's sufficient for you to become and to be what God wants you to be. That you only praise God when you go to church. That all God hears from you and all God knows from you and all you know about God is what happens at church. You're going to be missing out on a lot. And you're never going to become what God wants you to become. You're not going to be as strong as God wants you to be. But if you'll learn to build you an altar in your daily living, I'm telling you, you're going to tap into the glory of God. You're going to be a force for God in this world and in this generation. If you want to be in the cutting edge of what God is doing in this hour, engage yourself in prayer. Engage yourself in prayer. I'm telling you, God will talk to you. God will help you. God will show you things. He'll give you revelation. He'll anoint you. If you just learn to pray. You just learn to pray. Learn how to open yourself up to God. Learn how to tell God how you feel. Learn how to tell God what you think. Just learn how to express unto the Lord. Just learn how to say it like it is. Become a prayer warrior. Not everybody's going to be a singer. Not everybody's going to be a musician. Not everybody is going to be able to be a preacher, be a Sunday school teacher, but everybody can be a prayer warrior. It's in prayer that you really learn God. It's through prayer you really learn the presence of God. It's through prayer that you really learn how to entertain God. It's through prayer, young people, that you really learn how to get in the Spirit. And you learn how to be led of the Spirit. It's in prayer. It's in prayer. Amen. Thank God for the moves of the Holy Ghost again in our services. But I'm going to tell you, there's something special about you knowing how to pray through by yourself. You knowing how to touch God for yourself. You learn how to touch God for yourself. You'll know how to touch God for others. I'm going to tell you, if you'll dig you a well spiritually and you'll build a prayer life and you learn how to pray, amen. I'm going to tell you, God will teach you how to follow the leading of His Spirit. Does anybody want to be led of the Spirit? Does anybody want to know the works of the Holy Ghost? Does anybody want to know the operation of the gifts of the Spirit? I'm going to tell you, you're going to know that through prayer. Through prayer, you got to know Him. Any of you young people want to be able to recognize when spiritual troubles come in your way? Now, we don't want to just go looking for devils, but we want to understand his traps, right? We want to be able to see it if the devil's setting something up. Can I tell you, you don't have to be a student of the devil. Just be one that has a relationship with God. You build a relationship with God, you know when an evil spirit's going to come around. Because you know the presence of God. That don't feel right. That don't act right. That doesn't look right. I'm not going to involve myself in that. You got to know God. You got to know God. You got to know God. You got to know the presence of God. You got to know the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if you'll just take time to pray, it will amaze you how God will visit you and how just 1 week of consistent personal prayer will change your life. Hallelujah. It'll happen. It'll happen. Hallelujah. You start praying, God's going to start talking to you. You start praying, God's going to start using you. Hallelujah. And you get self-conscious when you're young and you don't want to be foolish And you don't want to be a person that prays for other people to hear you. You don't want to be that kind of person. You don't want to just be a loudmouth in prayer that's praying so everybody else can say, "Woo, man, they got it going on." Huh? You don't want to be that kind of person. But I'm going to tell you, you don't need to just be quiet and pray. There's a place for it. There's time for it. But I'm going to tell you, you just got to learn how to be yourself. You don't have to pray like brother so-and-so. You don't have to pray like sister so-and-so. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. Just learn how to get alone with God and say, "I want to touch. I want to meet with you. I want a visitation. I need God, a move of the Holy Ghost in my heart and in my soul." And it doesn't matter whether I'm quiet or whether I'm loud or whether I'm just as loud as everybody else. I just want to know you, God. I want a fellowship with you, God. I want to commune with you, Lord. I want your anointing in my life. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want to know your spirit, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And listen, young people, don't just pray. Don't just pray. Don't just talk. Pray through. We need a generation that learns how to pray through. You know, you've heard people say, "Well, I want to tell you what happened. What happened when I backslid? I'll tell you what happened. It's when I quit praying." Can I tell you there's something happened before they quit praying? They quit praying through before they quit praying. What I'm trying to tell you is you're going to bump situations. You're going to bump spirits. You're going to bump attitudes. You're going to see yourself. You're going to recognize that things need to change in you. And the only way your prayer life is going to keep moving is you got to do battle. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to do battle. You got to be honest about what you see. And you got to be honest about yourself and say, "God, I'm going to do battle with this giant in me. I'm going to do battle with this anger. I'm going to do battle with this resentment. I'm not going to let this attitude stop me from moving forward in the Spirit. There is victory for me." Hallelujah. You'll help me preach today. I'm telling you, I feel like preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, you got to pray it through, young people. Amen. If people's mocking you and scoffing you and calling your names and making fun of you, amen, just take it to God in prayer. Everything to God in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer and say, "God, I need you to help me. I don't have to stop moving. And nothing, God, has to keep me from going forward in the Holy Ghost. Give me a touch in my mind. Give me a touch in my heart. Give me a touch in my spirit. I want to keep moving in the Holy Ghost. And I want the Holy Ghost to keep moving in my life. I'm going to pray it through. I'm going to push. I'm going to pray until something happens. I'm not going to stop until I get the breakthrough. Because victory is available for me." Don't let nothing stop you in prayer, young people. If you bump a wall, or if there's a thought that comes to you, or something concerns you, amen, deal with it in the Holy Ghost. If you can't pray through it, go talk to your pastor and let him help you pray through it and give you the direction you need. But we need some prayer warriors in this generation that realizes for the church to move on and the church to grow on, it is going to be fueled by prayer. Prayer, 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 Holy Ghost praying, anointed praying, determined praying. Prayer that says, "I'm not going to stop until it happens. I'm going to push, I'm going to pray until the will of God is done. I'm going to push until we get the breakthrough. I'm not going to be satisfied with just praying. I'm not just going to be satisfied with talking a little bit. I'm going to pray until something happens. I'm going to pray until the heavens open up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray until something happens. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray until we pray it through." And so don't ever allow yourself to get to the place of your prayer life where you stop praying through. Pray through. Pray it through. Pray it through. Pray till the tears are flowing again. Pray until you know you're comfortable saying, "Yes, Lord, it's all yours. I give myself to you." Pray until the tongues can just flow freely. The power of God is moving and the glory of God is working. Pray,
Pray and pray through. Pray in the Spirit. We need Holy Ghost praying. I'm going to tell you, they say that an eagle, if it tried by its own, just by flapping its wings to fly over a great mountain, that it's a great possibility it would just fall to the ground of exhaustion and never be able to get over the mountain. We don't read of that, do we? Why? Because the secret of the eagle is that he uses his wings to get into the currents. And then when he gets to the currents, he lets the currents take him where he can't take himself. I'm going to tell you, that's what prayer is. You just start putting those hands together. You just start saying, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. You start talking to the Lord. You start worshiping God, and the Holy Ghost is going to start blowing in. The presence of the Lord is going to come sweeping into your presence. Amen. And you just... It takes more than just saying it. You got to yield to the Holy Ghost. And you got to let God move and God take over. That's what happened around here last night. Some people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the first time. You just got to let God take you where you can't take yourself. We have unlimited access to the King of Kings. Does that make you want to come? They would pursue earthly kings and get granted access into their presence in old days. But they would go to a king that maybe could help them, maybe not. You'll remember there was a time in the history of Israel that there was a famine and the king was totally powerless. People want to get angry at him because of the famine, and he's like, who am I? Can I tell you, when you come into God's presence, you got a king that can do it. And sometimes all you got to do is ask. That's all you got to do. It will amaze you if you'll just ask. Just ask. I was driving down the road one time. Just driving down the road. I was much younger then. I've never had a lot of money. And driving down the road, there were some situations coming up. It's like, God, if this is going to be able to happen, I need thousands of dollars. I was driving down the road. I said, God, I need thousands. That next Sunday morning, there was a lady walked into the office. I wasn't even pastoring then. I was just a helper. A lady walked in and said, my brother sent this envelope and told me to give it to you. He didn't even go to that church. He lived in another town. I had never even met him before. And she said, he told me to give you this. I opened it up. Praise God. I opened it up. $2,000. Right there. Now I'm going to tell you, the Lord may not give you everything you want, but it amazed me when I was just driving down the road, not being greedy, not just saying, God, I want to be rich, but realizing there was a need in my life. And I said, now God, I really need this. And just, that's all. That was all my prayer meeting. I just went on. Not just $1,000 check. $2,000 check. God started giving me thousands of dollars. What do you need today? What do you need? God wants you to learn how to ask. Just like that third generation, when they started to call on the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, heaven got happy. And it changed the history of humanity. I'm going to tell you, you'll get a hold of prayer right here in this camp. It'll change your life. It'll revolutionize your life. Pray in the good times. Pray in the bad. Pray, pray, pray. We got to pray. I'm going to tell you again, I got a burden in my spirit. God wants to communicate to this congregation, and that is He wants to remind us it's all fueled by prayer. It's His presence that moves through prayer. We won't have any more power than we have in prayer. We got to pray. We got to pray. Let me tell you, if you're praying for the will of God in your life, don't be surprised that it's such a battle and such a struggle. Don't be surprised, because I'm going to tell you, hell wants to keep you from gaining knowledge and understanding and revelation. This is where the battle is. If you want to know and you want to understand and you want to comprehend, it's here in prayer that you pursue that, and with the Word of God. But when you're praying in spiritual pursuit, understand that there is literally demon powers that keep you, are wanting to keep you from knowing the will of God and doing the will of God and understanding God's plan and understanding God's purpose. Hell is committed to keeping you in the dark, but you gotta be determined. I believe that God will give me light through prayer. It amazed me when I understood that the 3 weeks of prayer and fasting, the 21 days of prayer and fasting that Daniel did in the Old Testament. Amen. It wasn't just about praying and fasting. It wasn't just about doing it. It wasn't just selfish. There was an understanding that he was seeking. There was knowledge. There was revelation that he was wanting. There was a working of God's plan that he was seeking. And he said, I understood by the writing of Jeremiah that God had purposed 70 years of captivity. And I set my heart to seek the Lord. Amen. And he began to pray. And he began to fast. Amen. And the angel came on the 21st day and said, here's your answer. He said, I want you to know the Lord heard you on the first day. The Lord hears your faintest cry. I know I'm encouraging you to open up, young people, but realize the Lord will hear your faintest cry. The deepest sincere cry, it doesn't matter how loud it is, the sincerity is what pleases the Lord. But know that the Lord will hear you the first time you utter the prayer. But know that there's demons of hell and powers of darkness that want to hinder and keep the good work of God from being done. You just determine that God's going to bring it to pass, and I'm going to be a vessel and a channel. And if the battle's going to get intense, then we'll get intense. Amen. If just a little whisper unto the Lord will work, fine. But if it takes some moaning and groaning, and if it takes some determination, and it takes some crying out to the Lord, I'm willing, I'm committed. You just let come forth what the moment calls for and what the moment demands. You just let it out. And I'm telling you, Daniel was determined. I'm going to get the understanding. I'm going to see the will of God done. I'm determined. And I'm telling you, hell was fighting to keep him in the dark and keep him from the breakthrough. But as long as he stayed engaged through prayer and fasting, God brought him the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Just realize there's a mighty battle in this world over light and darkness, over understanding. That's what that spiritual warfare was all about. So realize the battle's going to get hot. It's going to get intense. But know always that God heard you the first time you prayed. You say sometimes, Brother Townley, I don't know. How often should I pray about something? If I'm talking to the Lord about it and I'm asking Him about it, how often should I pray about it? Do I pray about it once and say, okay, I believe. I offered the prayer and I have faith, so I don't ever have to ask that again. Am I going to make God think that I don't believe He heard me if I go back and ask Him to do it again?
There's some people that get of the opinion sometimes that if I go back and ask God for something I've already asked Him for, then maybe it's a sign of unbelief. Don't believe that. If you want to ask God one time for it and believe that He heard you, just leave it in His hands, that's okay. I'm not discouraging you from doing that. But what I'm telling you, to go back to the Lord again is not showing unbelief. To go back to the Lord again is faith. I believe. I believe you're a living God. I believe you hear. And I believe you answer. And I believe you'll work in this situation. I don't believe I'm asking out of your will. But I really desire to see you do this, God. I really desire to see you to save my son, save my daughter, save my co-worker, heal my body. And I believe you're able, God, and so that faith is going to drive me to pray that prayer again. Offer that prayer unto the Lord again. I got 3 points for you right here. Number one, you pray until God does it. Anytime you want to pray that prayer, you pray it until God does it. Or number two, you pray until God says, I'm not going to do it. Paul said, there was a thorn in my flesh. There was a thorn in my flesh and I besought the Lord thrice. Can I tell you, some things are left entirely up to your will. God says, I'll do what you want me to do. And so He leaves it to us to pray and to ask. Some things will never happen in our life if we don't ask God for it. He has a will, but some things He leaves in our hands. And that's where prayer comes in. We bring it to God and say, God, I really want you to do this. It's like Paul saying, God, amen, I'm coming to you in faith. You can take care of this situation. This buffeting spirit, this thorn in my flesh, would you take it away? Prayed and prayed about it. Finally, God said no. God doesn't always say yes to every prayer. Sometimes He says no. But catch this. When God says no, it's only to our benefit. In this, He wants to redirect our prayers according to His will. And that is, He told Paul, He said, no, I'm not going to remove this thorn. I've got a purpose for it to be there. But my grace is sufficient. And so now, Paul don't spend the rest of his life saying, move it out of the way, move it out of the way, when God had no intention of moving it. God redirected his prayer and said, Paul, when it gets too heavy for you, back on your knees and ask me to give you some more grace. This is going to be a grace teacher in your life. Hallelujah. 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 And so you pray until God does it. You pray in faith until God does it. Or number two, you pray until God says, I'm not going to do it. Or, and then if He says I'm not, He's going to redirect your prayer and give you understanding. But thirdly, you pray until God says, yes. And then, you don't have to ask Him anymore. He will so confirm it to your heart. He will so bring a witness to your spirit. You won't even feel like you've got to ask God for it anymore. You've just got faith in your heart. I've prayed and God spoke to me and He said He's going to do it. And so I'm just praising you. The answer hadn't come, but I'm praising you. I've got the witness. I've got the witness. And so God, I'm just going to praise you. I got an example of that for you. That is, I had an aunt that prayed through when she was 12 years old. She was the only one of the family that served God. My dad said she practically lived in her bedroom most of her teenage years because they had a television in their home. And she didn't want to allow herself to be tempted, so she spent a lot of hours. Oh God, we need some more of that, baby. She spent most of her teenage years in her bedroom when she was at home. She was praying. For 19 years, nobody in the family prayed through. Nobody. She just served the Lord faithfully, loyally, praying for the family, praying for her mom and dad, praying for her brothers and sisters, praying for the family for 19 years. But then finally, the
tide began to turn. One family member right after another began to receive the Holy Ghost. And in a 2-year period, 10 of our family had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You just got to keep praying. You keep praying until it happens. She prayed. And she said she prayed for my dad. My dad's the oldest son. She prayed for my dad. She interceded. And she said, I prayed for him so sincerely and so desperately until God confirmed into my heart and into my spirit that he was going to be saved. And she said, when he confirmed it, I never could ask the Lord again to save him. All I could do from that day forward was saying, thank you, God, for saving Jim. Thank you, God, that you're going to bring him in. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're going to do it. Woo! Thank you that you're going to do it, Lord. Hallelujah. You just got to pray. You got to pray. You got to pray, 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 pray. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. You pray and God's going to hear you. God's going to answer. God's going to bring the breakthroughs in your life. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to give you direction. He's going to let you know what you need to know when you need to know it. God's going to take care of you. Pray. 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 Pray through. Don't ever let prayer become motionless without a move of God. Pray. Let's praise Him right now. I've got two or three more things, but just let's praise the Lord right now. God, we love you. God, we magnify you. God, we praise you. God, we worship you. Hallelujah. Why don't you tell the Lord, God, I want you to hear my voice right now. I want you to hear my voice right now. Hear my voice. I want to walk with you. Hear my voice. I want to talk with you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. The Lord will hear your cry. Brother Weeks has some verses right quick. He's going to read for me. You can be seated for just a moment. The Lord will hear your cry. Doesn't matter how young or how old you are today. The Lord will hear your cry. We need some more 10-year-old prayer warriors. We need some more 15-year-old prayer warriors. We need some more 18-year-old prayer warriors. We need people that'll pray. We need some more 20-year-old prayer warriors, 30-year-old prayer warriors. We need some more prayer warriors. Amen. We need some more 45-year-old prayer warriors. We need some more 50-year-old prayer warriors. We need prayer warriors. We need interceders in this generation. We need people that'll stand in the gap. People that'll be forces that God can use. You talk about learning how to be sensitive in prayer. Some of you may have heard this story. If you go online, your pastor allows you to do it, you can go to Brother Marty Ballesteros' web's blog site. And he's got a story of this on there. One day, him and his wife was in a dark trial. Make a long story short, in the dark trial. Very discouraged. His wife lifts her voice to him and says, I don't even know if God knows. And she was saying, God knows where I'm at. But before she could get the words out of her mouth, the telephone begins to ring. And on the other end of the line, there was a prayer warrior that said, the Lord just had me praying for you. I've been at the church praying for about an hour. And I've been calling on your name before the Lord. And the Lord just told me to call you and tell you He knows where you're at. That's invaluable. That's something money can't buy. And only God can do. And the people that will learn how to pray, God will put them in the right place at the right time. Give them the right words to say. Do you want to be used of the Lord? Do you want to make a difference for the work of God in this generation? Learn how to pray. And in prayer, you'll learn the essence of timing. You'll learn the voice of God. God will talk to you. And God will use you if you learn to pray. Learn to pray. Learn to pray.
Somebody say, open up. Boys aren't known for being loud except outside. Or maybe they spend too much time in the house. But boys, learn how to talk to them. Learn how to talk to them. Learn how to talk to them. Let God become your best friend. Cry unto the Lord. When you're facing your hardest trial, talk to the Lord. I'm telling you, the Lord's wanting to put a weapon in your hand today, young people. I feel so greatly the Lord's putting a weapon in your hand. When you leave this camp, you're going to know, I know what I need to do. I need to pray. I need to pray. I need to pray. I need to pray.
And the Lord said,
yeah.
I have surely seen the affliction of my people.
The Egyptians are slaves. And the Lord saying, I have seen their affliction. And what?
Which are in Egypt and have heard their cry.
And I've heard what? Their cry. He said, then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord.
Oh, yes.
And here they're in trouble and in bondage and they cry to the Lord. And the Lord said, I have heard their cry. The Lord hears it today, young people. Go ahead.
By reason of their taskmasters.
Their taskmasters.
For I know their sorrows.
I know their sorrows. Read the next one, please. This is the story about where Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael out. The Bible said that Abraham sent Hagar with a bottle of water. Sent her away. What happened?
And the water was spent in the bottle.
The water was spent in the bottle.
And she cast the child under one of the shrubs.
And so she just cast that child under the shrubs. Go ahead.
And she went and set her down over against him.
Yes.
A good way off.
A good way off.
Yes. As it were, a bow shot.
Uh-huh.
For she said,
let
me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him.
Yeah.
And lift up her voice.
She lifted up her voice.
And wept.
And wept.
And God heard.
And God, everybody say God heard.
God heard.
And God, aren't you glad the Lord heard?
Oh, yes. The voice of the lad.
God heard the voice of even just the lad.
Yes.
Lady. God hears you, young people.
Oh, yes.
I know you may not feel the heaven shake every time you pray, but God heard every word you said.
Oh.
The voice of the lad. Go ahead, read the next portion. I'm closing.
And when he heard that it was Jesus,
Bartimaeus, anybody remember this story? When he heard that it was Jesus passing by, what did he do?
He began to cry out.
He began to cry out
and say, Jesus.
Say, Jesus.
Thou son of David.
Thou son of David.
Have mercy.
Have mercy.
On me.
On me.
And many charged him.
Many charged.
That he should hold his peace.
Hold your peace, chill, settle down, go ahead.
But he cried.
What did he do?
He cried.
Cried out the more. Yes.
The more a great deal.
The more a great deal.
Thou son of David.
Thou son of David.
Have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me. How bad do you want it, young people? I'm not trying to get you to do something that you don't feel, but whatever's in here, you've got to learn how. If it's quiet, be quiet, but if you're desperate, get desperate. I mean, sometimes to get your spirit free, you gotta just express, you gotta let it out. God, I need your mercy. God, I need you to help me. God, I need your grace. I need you. I'm tired of things being like they are. I'm tired of being blind. I'm tired of being in the dark. I'm tired of not being what I can be. Would you hear my prayer? Sure, people may say, what's going on with so-and-so? Why are they so bothered? And what's different tonight about any other night? Well, I'll tell you what's different is brother so-and-so, a young person so-and-so is desperate. They realize their need.
And I'm going to tell you, if they're going to recognize anything and anything's going to be obvious in your life, let it be a desperate cry for God. When you need the Lord, call on Him, young people. He's a prayer away. He's just a prayer away. He's just a prayer away. He's as close as a prayer. Call on the name of the Lord. Be a Bartimaeus. Jesus, You're going to hear my voice. You're going to hear my cry. I'm telling you today, the Bible said, blessed is the man that the Lord chooses to approach unto Him. I believe today God is opening a door of invitation to this congregation. I'm giving you unlimited access to unlimited power. Why don't you come in? Sup with me. I firmly believe there's times that God opens the doors in the Spirit. He makes it easier. It's not as hard. It's grace. I believe there's an open door. I know I preached a long time this morning. But I really believe God wants to reach and God wants to hear your voice when this service is over today. One more point. That is, this is an area where God always says yes. Hear me. Hear me clearly. When it comes to you making it, when it comes to you being saved, whatever you need to make it, whatever you require, God will give it to you. You don't ever have to wonder when it comes to the grace you need to be saved, to have victory, to overcome, to do battle. God will give it to you. He will. If it's forgiveness you need, He'll give it to you. Because He's committed to you making it. It's not His will that any perish. Just repent. The Bible said He will withhold no. He will not withhold any good thing. If you need it, deliverance. If there's a giant that needs to come down in your life, you need deliverance, freedom, and victory. You need to believe you can have it. God will never say no. He'll never withhold that from you. You need blood. You need a touch of the Holy Ghost. You need a renewing. You need restoration. He'll never say no. Never, ever, ever. He won't hold it back. Just say, God, You got it. You're a deliverer. You're a mind regulator. You're a peace speaker. I need Your help. I need Your grace. And today, I'm going to learn how to be a son that can talk back to You. Help me, God. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. You got it, and I can have it, and I want it, Lord. Any young person needs something from the Lord today? Would you cry? Would you cry? Would you let this right now become a turning point in your life and say, I'm going to prayer. I'm bringing a revival of prayer into my generation. The altars are open. It's yours. It's yours. Would you like to talk to the Lord? What do you want to say?